Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House, Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and from Spaceship One. And we're here with the marvelous, wonderful, and adorable.
Delightful.
Greetings and felicitations, salutations. This is CW. The cyberspace is working again, and I'm back.
She's back. All right. Not quite the whole family. Gar's feeling poorly and will not be here tonight. Going to rest himself up and get in some kind of shape, hopefully for horrible horror tomorrow.
I was just going to say, I talked to him last night, and I would imagine we'll be getting a wonderful vault show tomorrow night.
Yep. So
feel
it's
better,
like
Gar.
That.
Feel better.
That's right. Get well, darn you.
Yep. Stop hogging all the illnesses.
Yeah. I'll save a few for us. Cramity. Don't be a disease hog, will you?
But don't forget to say cheese while you do it, though.
That's right. Grin and bear it, because we are... picture this, will you? We're doing three, count them, three radio programs about cameras and photography. Some of the tales are macabre, you know.
Yeah, some of them are, yeah.
So everyone get ready to shake it like a Polaroid.
Whoa. Whoa.
You,
he stole my heart.
Did you shake the Polaroid?
You're not supposed
I remember
to.
That. Oh, you're not supposed to. Okay, I didn't think so.
No, there's that song. Anyone who likes... Never mind. It's a group called Outkast. They have that lyric in a song. Hey Ya.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hey Ya. I know that tune. Hey Ya.
Do, 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 do. And therefore, you shake it like a Polaroid picture. The Polaroid company had to put out a disclaimer. Please don't shake your Polaroids. They're not supposed to be shaking.
Yeah,
I know. Polaroids are a thing of the past.
Knew a couple people. Well, actually, there's still a Polaroid-type camera out there, a very small one. It takes very small pictures. My wife has one, and she didn't really get the phone thing, so she was using that to get pictures of
cool.
her titties.
Oh, no way. That is awesome. Truly awesome.
Polaroids are not dead yet.
Not yet. But with any luck, we'll kill them. Three, count them, three. And we're going to be all over the place genre-wise, outside of the fact they're all about photography. We got Johnny Cartwright's camera from the Author's Playhouse. All right, Author's Playhouse. We got suspense. And we got a Western for you, Gunsmoke.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess they did have cameras way back then in them their old Western days.
Tin types.
Yeah, because this Gunsmoke series was placed not long right after the Civil War, because there are still a lot of Union Johnny Reb feelings going on throughout the shows. Not this one, but through a lot of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so definitely.
Because the Civil War was the first photograph war that we ever had. Thanks to the Matthew Brady studio. He actually was almost blind himself, but he hired all these photographers to go out into the war and take these pictures.
And he took all the credit.
It was the studio, yes, of course. Of course.
It's American.
Yeah,
American. Oh, heavens. Well, where will we begin with our radio goodness? How about let's start off with the Western.
There, you probably, if you want the goodness there, you gotta go to probably the Author's Playhouse. It's more of a everyday tale from the 1940s. How's that?
Sounds good. We can maybe finish up with that one. Hmm? Or do you want to start there, Dave?
It doesn't matter. But you were saying if you wanted goodness, that would be the one that would be closest to goodness tonight.
Well, they're all goodness, but why not? We'll start with Johnny Cartwright then from the Author's Playhouse. Original.
It was episode number 123, and it comes to us from July 22nd of 1940 and 4.
Author's Playhouse. Presenting Johnny Cartwright's Camera, an original story especially adapted for this program by Nelson S. Bond.
What's the verdict? Hold that pose. There, that's it.
How do you like this for composition? Got it on a dark day. F25 at 1/200.
Now, a little smile, please. Ah.
A camera. What is it anyway? A toy? A gadget? A wasteful hobby to consume the time and money of a 250,000 shutter-snapping fiends, or a tiny box in which beats the heart of humanity? A box wherein may be imperishably captured moments of joy or fear or sorrow. Tonight, though, we bring you the story of a different sort of camera. The camera of Johnny Cartwright, which, through some strange fault we do not understand, mirrored not that which lay before its lens, but, well, listen and judge for yourself. The story opens in the dark room of the Daily Blade, where Johnny Cartwright, the Blade's ace cameraman, is developing some pictures. With him is his alleged assistant.
Hey, Dopey.
Yeah, Mr. Cartwright? Call me Mr. Cartwright? What is it, huh?
Hand me that frame of plates over there on the shelf. And be careful. I had a tough time getting those shots.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cartwright. Right away, Mr. Cartwright. Here they are. Oh!
Look out there. Oh, great day in the morning. Look at that. You smashed every confounded plate in the rack. You clumsy, good-for-nothing idiot for 2 cents.
Oh, golly, Mr. Cartwright, I'm awful sorry. Gee, I didn't mean to do nothing like that, Mr. Cartwright. Honest, I sort of let loose my hold like...
Oh, shut up. A whole day's work smashed to smithereens. Of all the witless wonders. Oh, well. Clean up the mess, Dopey. I'm going out and grab a handful of aspirin.
Yeah, Mr. Cartwright, of course. Sure, Mr. Cartwright. I'll take care of everything. Just leave it to me, Mr. Cartwright.
It isn't enough. They should underpay me every week. I've also got to put up with stuff like that.
Hi there, Johnny. Hey. How do you spell chrysanthemum?
You don't spell them, you smell them. Why?
The chief made me cover the flower show for Janie.
Yeah.
Fugitive from a daisy, Jane, that's me. Trouble, all day long, nothing but trouble.
Trouble? Huh, you've got trouble. Listen, Ted, you don't know from nothing. You ought to have something like Dopey Carruthers clinging to you like a shroud.
Oh, so that's it, huh? Dopey again. He's not very smart, is he? Hey, why on earth did you ever hire him?
I didn't hire him, the chief did. He just happens to be the chief's brother-in-law, that's all. Uh-oh, speak of the devil, don't look, but here comes the chief now.
Cartwright. Lee.
Yes, chief?
Get up off your brains. The SS Victory docks today from Rio. Pier 63. Senorita De Luise is aboard. Get going.
De Luise?
What?
The Brazilian four-alarmer? Oh, boy, gangway.
The glorious Gloria, huh? You're not kidding, chief? Hey, Dopey!
Yes, Mr. Cartwright?
Bring me my Graflex and the film pack adapter and three packs of Superplan and make it snappy. Oh, boy, DeLuise, huh? The South's American sway. Yeah,
that's the first time I ever knew you two to show such interest in your work.
Oh, work, he calls it. Chief, by me, this is strictly pleasure.
Here's your camera, Mr. Cartwright, and the films. Oh, where you going, Mr. Cartwright? You going somewhere, Mr. Cartwright, are you, huh?
We are departing, my little man, to bask in the effulgence of the deliriously delicious Senorita DeLuise. Sometimes known as the Brazilian rumba number.
The gal who put the hot sauce in La Cucaracha.
Oh, golly, Senorita DeLuise. She, Mr. Cartwright. I seen her once in moon pictures I did. She's nice, ain't she, Mr. Cartwright? She's got talent, she has. She dances awful pretty, too. All in one spot, without hardly moving her feet, but sort of. Gee, can I go too, Mr. Cartwright? Please, can I, Mr. Cartwright, huh? Can I go too?
Absolutely not. I don't want you messing up an otherwise pleasant afternoon.
I beg your pardon, Cartwright. Do you mean to intimate that my brother-in-law...
Oh,
might...
all right, then. Come along, Dopey, but make it snappy. We've got to catch the ship before she lands.
Senorita DeLuise, how do you like the United States?
Senorita, do you believe vaudeville will really make a comeback?
Miss DeLuise, do you find American men more or less attractive than the men of your country?
Well, Senorita, is it true that Hollywood wants you to dance with Fred Astaire in his new picture?
Boys,
how about that, boys, you must not ask me this question so quick. I do not well understand English yet. It makes my head to, sweep.
What's that, Johnny?
Pictures, remember? I came here to get some pictures.
Oh, yeah, of course. Senorita DeLuise,
yes.
My cameraman is here. Would you mind if he took a few pictures for our newspaper?
Pictures?
Yes.
Why, no, of course not.
Fine. Then if you'll be kind enough to sit over here on this rail, Senorita.
Oh, like this? Right
over here. Yeah, that's it. Now, if you'll just cross your...
You Americans, you're so frank. But if you insist... Like this, you mean?
Yeah, like that. Okay, Dopey, let's have the camera.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cartwright, coming right up. Here you are, Mr. Cartwright.
Here, Dopey, grab that camera.
What have you done now?
Oh, golly, it slipped right out of my hands, Mr. Cartwright. Gee, I'm so sorry, Mr. Cartwright. Honest, I am. I didn't mean to drop it.
You blundering nitwit of all the dumb idiots in creation.
Terrible sorry, Mr. Cartwright. Gee, I didn't mean to drop it. Honest, I just sort of tripped over that shadow, I did.
Give me that box. If it's broken, I'll carve your cranium into a totem pole. Let me see it. Yeah, the lens seems to be okay. Well, the shutter's not broken. Well, more by good luck than anything else, it doesn't seem to be damaged. A good thing for you, too, or I'd have... Well, never mind. If you're ready now, Senorita DeLuise.
Oh, certainly, senor. How is it?
Well, just a trifle higher, don't mind.
Higher on the rail? But I would be frightened.
No,
sir.
No. I didn't mean the rail. I meant your you.
Oh, I see. You mean like this? Is this satisfactory?
Baby, it ain't bad.
Ada, sweet little Ada from Decatur. Come to Papa.
Five and two seem dice. She's as hot as a firecracker.
I never saw such love.
Oh, what's the matter, Ted? Don't you want a piece of it?
Not me. Next time I shoot craps with you, I'm going to use my own dice.
Well, how about you, Johnny? You're not quitting, too.
Yeah, I'm clean. You're the laundry. Come on, Ted. Let's get out of this den of iniquity. See you lugs later.
All right.
I'll take $2, Barrett.
Okay,
what's the point?
Those prints ought to be dry by now. Let's go see what we got. Huh?
Okay.
That's funny. Dopey. Hey, Dopey.
He's not in the dark room?
Not unless he's taking a bath in the hypo pen. Gone again. I tell you, that guy's the laziest, the good for nothing.
Mm.
Oh, there you are. Where have you been? Where are those shots we took of DeLuise?
Oh, hello, Mr. Cartwright. Oh, Mr. Lane. Pictures, Mr. Cartwright? Well, I finished developing him, I did, and I took him over to the boss. He wanted to see him right away. He was figuring on using him in a 3-star. Until he seen him, that is.
Until he... Hey, what do you mean? Didn't they turn out? You mean the camera did get broken after all?
It wasn't exactly that, Mr. Cartwright. Well, maybe you better go see the boss yourself. He wants to see you and Mr. Lane. He does.
All right, we will. Come on, Ted.
Okay.
Oh, boy, if there's anything wrong with my camera, I'll take it out on your hide, Dopey.
Well, I wonder what the boss wants.
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah. Who is it?
John Cartwright, Chief, and Ted Lane.
Oh, you. Very well. Come in.
Dopey, Carruthers said you wanted to see us, boss.
Yeah, that's right. Well, boys, didn't take you very long to cover your assignment, did it?
Well, you know us, Chief. Do or die for the dear old blade.
Yeah, I like that, especially the die part. And you, Ted, I suppose you got a fine story.
Yeah, it's on the spike. Didn't you see it?
I have, and a more brilliant accumulation of trite, uninspired banalities I've never read in 20 years of editing.
Well, after all, Chief, what do you expect of a a professional dancer? She's not here to exhibit her brains to the American public. Her feature attraction is...
That'll do. And you, Johnny, while Lane's preparing this staggering opus, I suppose you were making some startling shots of Senorita DeLuise's celebrated profile.
Oh, is that what you call them? You learn something every day, huh? Maybe I ought to title those pics, Profiles in Nylon, huh?
Yeah, those pics. Maybe you two ought to start looking for new jobs.
What? Well, we didn't do nothing, boss.
Come clean. What was the score?
The score?
I suppose you didn't go to the ball game. Then where were you? Bending elbows down at Joe's place?
Hey, now, wait a minute, Chief. You sent us to interview DeLuise, and that's where we went. You've seen the proof, haven't you?
Have I?
The pics. You've seen the pics, haven't you?
I've seen these. That's what you mean.
But what's wrong?
There are your pictures. Look at them. A fine pair of newspaper men you are.
Hey, but wait a minute. These aren't pictures of Gloria DeLuise at all.
You're telling me?
Hey, they're pictures of a steamship.
On fire.
At just about the same spot where we were today. Look, Ted.
Yeah, I remember that, Doc. Golly, look, small boats being lowered.
Water dotted with the heads of swimmers.
People jumping from the burning ship and the fireboats racing up.
Jeepers, look at this one. The smoke has cleared away and you can see the ship's name.
The SS Cymbeline. But this is terrible.
Awful. We didn't see anything like this. When did it happen?
That's just it, you fakers. It didn't happen. The SS Cymbeline's on her way here from Bermuda at this moment. She won't dock till tomorrow. And now, get out of here. You're fired, both of you.
Oh, but, Chief, I tell you, there must be some mistake. I didn't take these pictures. Ask Dopey. He'll tell
Don't
you.
Don't try to pass the buck, Cartwright. Dopey, my brother-in-law brought me these pictures right out of your camera. Now, get out. I'm counting three. If you two are out of my sight for the time... One, two.
I knew I shouldn't have chipped in on that bronze paperweight last Christmas.
Mr. Cartwright?
Yes. What is it, Dopey?
I'm sorry if I got you in trouble, Mr. Cartwright. Honest, I am. I didn't mean no harm, Mr. Cartwright, but you said I was to take them pictures to the editor as soon as they was developed, so I did.
Oh, shut up. You know perfectly well those aren't the pictures I snapped on a victory.
Well, honest to goodness, Mr. Cartwright, them was the pictures that was in the camera. I developed them myself. I seen them ship fire scenes coming up, and I thought it was kind of funny, but you told me to give the prints to the chief, so...
Okay. You're as sappy as a maple tree in April. Or else you're covering up some dumb trick of your own. But see if I care. I can find a better job than this in 5 minutes. Blindfolded, too. What do you say, Ted?
Ditto. In spades. I never did like working for this rag anyhow. Well, Johnny, who will give the first break? The Globe?
Oh, the Trib's an up-and-coming sheet.
Okay, the Trib it is. You ready?
Oh, 1 minute. Hand me that camera, Dopey. It's mine, not the Blade's. Hand me a couple dozen film packs while you're at it.
Oh, but Mr. Cartwright, that wouldn't be honest.
Don't give me arguments. Give me film packs. I'm declaring myself a dividend, a little farewell present from the paper.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cartwright. About that Graflex of yours, Mr. Cartwright, I was looking at it. I think it got sort of damaged like when it fell. Sort of. I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Cartwright. The lens and shutter are out of alignment. But if you let me, I think I can fix it for you. I'm a good mechanic, Mr. Cartwright. Honest, I am.
Skip it. Gimme. All right, Ted.
Whenever you are.
Okay, let's get going. So long, Dopey. And if I never see you again, it'll be too soon.
Yeah, just funny to be walking out of the old dump forever, doesn't it?
What's the matter? Going soft on me?
Mm-hmm.
Look, the door of the chief's office is open. I'm going to snap a farewell picture of the old slob.
What for, your memory book?
No, to enter in the annual wildlife picture contest. Human anteater lurking in his lair. Mm. There, I got it. Now, let's get out of here, Ted.
Tribune, dust off the welcome mat. Here comes repertorial and photographic genius.
Now, boys, I'd like to have you on the Tribune, but we're overstaffed as it is. However, if you'll accept 15 a week as a starting salary...
15 a week? Are you kidding?
Listen, we're making 40 now.
You were making 40. 15's the best I can do. Take it or leave it.
Come on, Ted, let's get out of here.
Sorry, fellas. The Globe doesn't need any men just now. Maybe in a few months we can find an opening.
What do we eat in the meantime? Ozone?
Job, are you joking? We're not hiring men now. We're laying them off. Why don't you try the Blade? I understand they just lost a pair of no-account hacks.
And speaking of no-account hacks, I'm back.
Oh,
God. I didn't even know this word was used at the... I didn't know this word was used at the time when he said, what are you supposed to eat? Ozone? I didn't even realize that was a known word at the time.
No kidding.
Yes.
Yeah. Fox just said, ozone. Yeah, he caught it too. He caught it too, yes.
Did they have a time traveler as the writer?
Well, I guess we'll have to see in the second half because something happens to them their photographs. Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting.
The foreshadowing was already there as to what will happen.
Yep.
I'll
turn out to be Betty Page. Photos of
okay.
Betty Page, yes. We have to study the evidence for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Why, look who's in the, just around the corner. Sister Knucklebuster. Hello, sister. How are you?
Yay.
Well, that was short of you, Neil.
If you want to straighten out the schools and straighten out the kids, just turn a bunch of nuns loose with rulers, man. It'll be all good.
Yes, you have a brand new stainless steel ruler today? Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's smart.
Although instead of drugs, they'd be different reasons they're twitching when they get older. Which is just as good, much fun to watch. So, let us continue with Jenny Cartwright's camera from the Office Playhouse. Part two. Ah, that's lovely.
Yeah? Well, yourself. We've covered the town like a blanket, and it's no soap. Now what? Oh, I don't know. What's the matter with the rags in this burg, anyhow? Don't they recognize genius when they see it?
Johnny, do you think we maybe made a mistake? Perhaps we ought to go back and apologize.
Not in a million years. I'd rather die of starvation first.
Is that a vow or a prediction? Well, we can't sit on this park bench all night. I'm going home and sleep. How about
you? Get some ozone.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'd better grab a hunk of shut-eye, too. Yeah, I wish I had a dark room in my flat, though.
Dark room? What for?
Well, those pics I snapped while we were wandering around this afternoon. Oh. How in the dickens am I going to get them developed now that I can't use the Blade's equipment? That snap of the breeze-blown blonde in front of the First National Bank. Boy, that ought to be a breath snatcher in any man's library. Yeah, oh, well. I'll figure that out in the morning. Well, see you about 2 tomorrow, huh?
2, right. Yeah. At Joe's place. We'll keep on hunting for jobs, even if we have to go all the way across the water to Brooklyn.
Well,
Morning, Mabel.
Morning, Your Aunt Tilly, Mr. Cartwright. It's 2:15 in the afternoon. Why aren't you at work?
Why don't you mind your own business? Give me some orange juice and cereal and bacon and eggs. And toast and coffee.
Aren't you coming up? Sweet to the sweet. That's what I always say. Shoot one from gun. Couple dunk it.
Paper. Jamie Blade. Read all about the big... paper, mister?
Yeah. Give me a blade.
Here you are, mister. Piper, read all about it.
Holy cow.
What's the matter?
The matter? Look at this headline.
Huh?
12 dead, 130 injured in river tragedy. Boiler explosion blamed for fire aboard SS Cymbeline. Fireman fights spread of flames. Pier 63 threatened. For further exclusive blade photographs, turn to page 9.
Oh, ain't that awful? It's like I always said, them
awful? Listen, you don't realize what this means. Let me out of here.
Well, but you burnt
it. Oh, eat it yourself. You burned it.
Johnny. Hey, Johnny, look. The paper. Did you see the paper?
Did I? You bet I did. Come on, let's go find out what this is all about.
Hey, Bud, is the chief in?
No, but he said when you two came in, you were to wait for him. He wants to see you.
Yeah, I figured he would. Come on, Ted. We'll wait in the dark room. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Cartwright. Oh, Mr. Lane.
Hi.
Gee, I'm glad you come back. I am. I missed you. Do you want I should work on that camera now?
Don't touch, Avu. That's French for keep your paws off, Dopey. But there's a half a pack in the adapter. You can develop it if you want to.
Half a pack, Mr. Cartwright?
Yeah. Well,
sure, Mr. Cartwright. I'll develop it right away. What's in it, Mr. Cartwright?
Oh, various and sundry junk. I don't know. They had snap of the chief. Oh. Those shots I nagged around town yesterday afternoon. Wait till you see that babe I told you about. Hey, there's the boss now. Oh, Chief. Chief.
Ah, there, Cartwright. Lane.
Hiya, Chief.
Hiya, Chief.
What do you say?
Come into my private office.
Okay, Chief.
Okay, sure, Chief.
Chief, that story.
Those pics, Chief.
Hey, boys, you're both hired back again. And I'm putting through raises. Those pictures were the most astounding example of newspaper ingenuity I've seen in all the years of my experience. But, Johnny, how'd you know that fire was going to happen? Did you have an inside tip? It was sabotage, wasn't it? I hope you two didn't get involved in anything illegal.
Chief, listen, those pics weren't faked. They were...
Won't reveal your source of information, eh, Johnny? Well, that's your privilege as a newspaper man. I won't question you any further. The results satisfy me. Here, have a cigar.
Oh, thanks, Chief.
Say, thanks.
I'm sorry if I seemed a little impetuous yesterday, but accidents happen, you know. You must admit circumstances were a trifle peculiar, but in the future... Yeah? What is it?
It's me!
Oh, the fly in the ointment.
Now, Johnny, I asked you not to talk that way about my own brother-in-law. Come in.
Here's them pictures you asked me to develop, Mr. Cartwright.
Oh, yes, thanks. Well, what are you hanging around for?
Well, they're kind of funny, Mr. Cartwright. Are you sure that their camera's working all right? I mean, I'd like to fix it for you if you let me, Mr. Cartwright.
Funny? What's so funny about them? Hey, who told you to snap pictures around here?
I didn't snap no pictures, Mr. Cartwright. That picture was in the camera, honest. That's what I was talking about when I said...
Yes, I see. You'd better run along, Dopey.
Yes, sir. Sure, Mr. Cartwright. If you say so. But I still say there's something awful funny going on.
Now, Chief, what was it you were saying about in the future?
Why, simply that in the future, boys... I'm going to see that you have more opportunity to display your talents.
Ted.
Quiet, Johnny. The boss is talking.
I know, but look at these pictures.
Later. Go ahead, boss. You were saying...
Just a moment. Johnny, what's wrong?
But, Chief, you just handed Ted and me cigars, didn't you?
What? Why, yes, I did.
And very good ones, too.
It's the first time in all the years we've been working here you ever did such a thing, isn't it?
Why, come to think of it, I believe it is. But what is that to do with...
Well, then, look at these pictures Dopey just handed. This top one shows you handing cigars to Ted and me.
What? Why, it's impossible.
Let me see that, Johnny. Hey, it does.
That's why I asked Dopey if he snapped any pictures around here, but he said he didn't. And now, after studying all of them, I believe him. Here, look at the rest of these. See this one?
A traffic jam in Duffy Square. Well, what's so unusual about that?
Nothing. Except that when I took it, it was a picture of an automobile accident.
But there's no accident there now.
I know. And this one.
An empty park bench in Central Park.
There were two lovers wrapped up like toasted marshmallows on a bench when I snapped the picture. And this picture of two bricklayers showed LaGuardia laying a cornerstone.
There's no little flower in it now.
And this one.
This one was the one I told you about, Ted.
Eh?
The breeze blowing, honey, in front of the First National. But look at it now.
Sweet saints. Three thugs blasting their way out of a bank. A black limousine at the curb. Bystanders running away. A guard shot. It's a holdup, Johnny. But well, why wasn't it reported? I didn't see anything about it in today's paper.
What's that? Robbery at the First National Bank? Of course you didn't see anything about it in the Blade, because it didn't happen.
No, that's right. It didn't happen. It will happen, though, this afternoon.
What? Johnny, you feel all right?
Cartwright, you must be crazy. What do you mean it'll happen this afternoon? Yeah? Yeah, what is it?
Chief, we just got a flash from police headquarters. The First National Bank was held up 3 minutes ago. Three robbers shot a guard and escaped in a black limousine.
Three robbers in a black... 3 minutes ago? Holy smoke! Tear out the front page. Stop the presses. Send a copy boy up here this minute.
Well, sure, boss.
And hurry. I got a picture of that robbery. Another marvelous job, Johnny. You're second in as many days. But you'll get in trouble hiding the source of these tips, my boy. We've got to tell the police. Even wonderful montage jobs like these...
Oh, but it wasn't a montage job, Chief. That picture was the real thing.
Real thing?
Johnny, I don't understand.
No, neither do I completely. But I think I'm beginning to. Ted, you remember when Dopey dropped my camera on the deck of the Victory?
Yeah, of course.
Well, something clicked. We thought the box was all right, though, and it was. Except that somehow something inside got messed up.
I'll say.
That's why we didn't bring back any pictures of DeLuise. Instead, we got pictures of a more important event that was going to happen at the same spot 24 hours later.
24 hours?
Don't ask me how or why. I'm as much in the dark as you. I'm a cameraman, not a physicist. All I know is my camera was damaged in such a way that it now takes pictures of what will happen in the spot its lens is focused the next day.
But that's impossible.
Incredible, yes. But not impossible. Now, I'm no physicist either, but I think I see an explanation. Dopey said the lens and the shutter were knocked out of alignment. Well, maybe they've fallen into some crazy angle in relation to each other so that Johnny's camera now takes pictures through the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is the time dimension, you know.
Time dimension? What does that mean?
Why, time is the fourth dimension of space, that's all. Look, I'll show you. Suppose I arrange to meet you at the corner of 45th and Broadway. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But if I were on the ground floor and you were on the third floor, we wouldn't meet, would we?
Why, no, but...
That's because height is the third dimension of space. Now, suppose we arranged to meet on the third floor of a building at 45th and Broadway, but I was there on Tuesday and you were there on Wednesday. We still wouldn't meet because time is the fourth dimension of space. There. You get it?
Frankly, no.
And neither do I exactly, but I don't care much. All I know is that if Ted's right, we've got something here that'll make a fortune for all of us. For us and for the Blade.
Great guns. I see what you mean. Tomorrow's headlines, today.
Exactly. All the important battles, the big national events, gala opening...
Election results, crimes, big society shindig.
We'll hire experts to analyze that box, study the twisted alignment, and build 1,000 cameras just like it. We three will form a corporation, patent a camera that pictures tomorrow's news...
Another angle, too. We'll keep this under our hats for a while till we clean up big. Think of the horse races, the football games, stock market tips.
It's worth millions. Billions. Trillions.
And all because Dopey dropped my camera on the deck of the SS Victory.
But you don't have to hold that against me no longer, Mr. Cartwright. No, sir, you don't.
Ooh. Oh, you, Dopey. What's that? Hold it against you? Oh, I don't, Dopey, I don't. All is forgiven.
Because I fixed your camera for you. You see, Mr. Cartwright? Golly, it was an awful mess. Them insides were all scrambled up, but I straightened them all out. I'm a good mechanic. I'm... Oh, hey, Mr. Cartwright. Why are you looking at me like that? And you, Mr. Lane. And you, boss. Hey, let go of me.
You'd
help!
Calling all cars. Calling all cars. Go to Daily Blade office immediately. Man being attacked. Man being attacked by three lunatics. That is all. That is all.
You have just heard Johnny Cartwright's Camera, written by Nelson S. Bond and adapted especially for Author's Playhouse by the author. The production was directed by Mr. Homer Heck. Mr. Stephen Hill was featured in the role of Johnny Cartwright. Mr. George Caesar played the part of Dopey. And Mr. Gil Faust was heard as Ted Lane. Others in the cast were Miss Geraldine Kay, Miss Elmira Ressler, Mr. Clock Ryder, Mr. Ray Suber, Mr. Johnny Coons, and Mr. Dick Shankland. The original musical score was written and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. This has been the third in a new 9-week series of Authors Playhouse productions, radio adaptations of the best in the short stories, selections from the works of contemporary writers, as well as the acknowledged masters of the past. These 9 dramas represent outstanding productions presented on the weekly Authors Playhouse series, heard regularly over NBC for the past 3 years.
And we'll be here for at least the next 7,000 years. Or so.
An interesting story, but yet we could still learn something from it, I believe.
Oh, good heavens. Yeah, I was ready.
Eerie House Radio
proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
It's apologies to Gar. Contrary to the popular saying, sometimes if it's broken, don't fix it.
See, that was a dramatic moral. A very dramatic
moment, yes.
I'm trying to remember the episode of Twilight Zone where the camera was taking a picture of the future and those mobster types, the husband and wife,
Yeah, it would take the future in and
the goofy brother.
I don't know exactly which one you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about, and that was a subject in several stories, including, in a sense, the mystery theater we have tomorrow night. So, yeah.
Yes.
There was Aaron, I don't know, it was the William Demarest television episode where, you know, the television they got was showing what was happening, could happen in the future, but of their own lives, yeah. Let me see here. I'm just quickly typing in here.
Yep. Dave's trying to find that Twilight Zone, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Very good. My Twilight Zone companion is out of reach.
Uh-oh.
That would probably take a long time to leaf through, too.
If the most the unusual
chat,
camera.
Fogsbane, good old Bob.
The most unusual camera. There you go.
That's it.
Most unusual camera, yeah. They took it down to the races, remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the Gun Mall's brother was kind of a goofy kid who messed it up. And then they had a twist ending with the French
the
thief.
French window.
Who was posing as a hotel employee. It's a good spoiler alert. But yeah, that's another good photography thing.
But that's how we hang here at Erie House.
Absolutely. Yep. Wasn't there a radio show also called, or I don't know if it's an old TV show, I Am a Camera, something to that effect? Or?
Oh, yeah, something. Dave, there is something similar to that, isn't there?
Off the top of my head, I remember Charles Bronson in his first starring role was The Man with the Camera.
That was TV.
That was TV.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're talking about a movie, no, I it doesn't come to my mind. No.
I thought it was a radio show.
We'll ponder that.
You thought was, yeah.
Let's ponder that for a bit, because I thought it was a takeoff of a real life photographer. He was sort of the photographer of what was then our National Enquirer. It was a real rag, as they used to call them.
Wow. I don't recall that at all. There's Casey
the gossip
Kramer,
rags.
But that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Is he the one that made the Bat Boy? The screaming Bat Boy.
Good old Bat Boy.
Yep.
Hey, Bat Boy got to meet presidents and prospective presidents and things like that. So, you know, you can't. And Bigfoot. So all these things, you know, he got to meet that I never did.
Yeah. Look how many famous people. How about that? So, are we ready for another program? Are we ready for a Western?
Yeah, let's do a Western. I like that.
Let's get a out west.
Yep, William Conrad and Parley Bear and Floyd the Barber.
There you go.
Are we talking Gunsmoke or Andy Griffith here? They both had Floyd?
Yeah, that is always the question, yes. But is this Gunsmoke in this particular case?
Yep.
And
curiously entitled The Photographer.
Yep. Or as Chester calls him, The Photographer, you know. And this comes to us from June the 6th. Nope, I'm sorry. May the 6th of, how many months are there in here? May the 6th of 1956.
Oh, my.
Ow!
Shot a goat.
Gunsmoke. Brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Chesterfield. Did they have goats out west?
Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Is just what I needed, Mr. Dillon. I sure been sleepy today.
You got spring fever, Chester.
I guess so. It is nice weather, ain't it? Won't be long now. The cattle drives will be starting.
Yeah, and the streets will be full of Texas cowhands looking for trouble.
Yes, sir. But you know, I'm almost looking forward to them this year.
You know, come July, you'll be pining for this peace and quiet.
Maybe, but not right now. Maybe I'll just stop by the Tom Sawyer, Mr. Dillon, if it's all right with you.
Sure. Well, what for?
Well, like you said, it's spring. They got a bath there. Besides, it's time to get unsewed.
You better leave them on. We might have a late frost.
I don't know. I'm beginning to itch some. Hey, what's that crowd in front of Long Branch?
I don't know.
What do you suppose it is, Mr. Dillon? Hey, maybe it's a medicine show.
Well, let's go take a look, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever it is, that fellow sure has drew a crowd, and that's a fact.
Uh-huh.
There he is. Miss Kenny's talking to him.
Yeah.
Well, guess there can't be no trouble, then.
Oh, hello, Matt.
Oh, Kitty.
Hey, Marshal. You come to have your picture took, too?
Yeah.
The marshal looked real smart in a tintype, huh?
You tell him to.
Ah, so that's it. You're taking pictures, huh?
That's right, Matt. This is Professor Jacoby. He calls himself an artist of the camera.
Well, forevermore. So this is one of them things I've been hearing about.
That's right. Oh, well,
keep your hands. What? Keep your hands off it, my good man. It's a very sensitive instrument.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, you're Marshal Dillon, I take it, sir.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, Marshal. I was coming to look you up directly. Quite naturally, you're one of the subjects I most wish to immortalize with the camera.
Oh, is that so?
Certainly, certainly. Western Marshall is one of our great heroes back east.
They are? You don't say.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, Professor. What's that little tent for?
Oh, that's where I do my developing, sir.
Oh, developing?
Why, of course. Pyro and soda, you understand.
Well.
And the plate must be developed immediately before it dries.
Oh,
Now, miss.
Well, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
You stand aside. If you'll just relax, miss.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to shoot you, you know.
Okay.
Let me see. Now, that's not precisely what I'm after.
Huh?
What we need is another subject.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, another person. You, sir, would you step up, please? Yes,
me?
You.
Me?
How do you like that? He's going to immortalize old Toad.
Yes. Just come right over here. That's it. Now, miss, if you'll just stand beside him.
Him?
Well, anything for art's sake, you know? We want this to look absolutely authentic.
I think I'm going to like this, Miss Kitty.
Now, don't go getting any ideas, Toad.
Ah, that's fine. That's fine. Now, miss, if you'll just look up at him with that... Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't know.
Professor, why don't you just take your pictures of people the way you find them? They'll be authentic enough.
No, of course, Marshal. I meant no offense.
That's all right, Matt. Go ahead, Professor.
Yes, of course.
Hey, where's he going?
Well, ducking under that black cloth there.
Hey, you're going to have a hard time crawling into that little box.
Oh, that's good now. Don't take your eyes off the camera and don't move a muscle while I'm counting. You understand?
Uh-huh.
All right, take a big breath. Hold it. One Missouri, two Missouri, three Missouri, four Missouri, five Missouri, Missouri, seven Missouri, eight Missouri, nine Missouri, 10 Missouri, 11. Good.
Well, ain't that something, Mr. Dillon?
You know, I want to see that picture, Kitty. You look like the camera was a rattlesnake.
Yeah, it might as well have been. I'm glad it's over.
And now, Marshal. Marshal, maybe you will oblige.
Well, no, thank you, Professor. Maybe later. Huh?
And perhaps I'll take one of these gentlemen here. You, sir. You look like a gunfighter. No?
Grubbs may try to look and act like a gunman, Professor, but he's not very desperate.
Oh, I see. Perhaps you have someone in your jail, Marshal.
No, not at the moment.
I know what the Eastern public wants, sir, what it wants to see. Dance hall girls and desperados, gunfighters, savage Indians, the violence of the West. And it's the violence I'm after, most of all. That's what will sell my photographs.
Professor, then all you have to do is wait.
Wait for how long?
Oh, maybe a few weeks when the trail herds start coming.
Oh, I haven't got a few weeks, Marshal.
Well, then I guess we can't help you.
Well, don't worry, Marshal. I'll manage.
No? How?
You'll see. I'm a man of ideas, Marshal.
That whistling man, Bobby Haggard, really started something. Tonight, we'd like to introduce a player piano that could have come right out of the Long Branch in Dodge City.
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield. Mild. Yet they satisfy the most. Morning, Sam.
Howdy, Marshal.
Morning, Matt.
Oh, hello, Kitty.
Hi, Kitty.
Do you mind if I sit on?
Well, I haven't
Sam.
Yet, have I?
What are you grinning about?
I saw your picture. What was that you said to me about rattlesnakes?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty bad, wasn't it? Well, maybe if you didn't have to hold still for so long.
Sure. Anyway, you're immortalized now. The professor will have your face all over the papers back east.
If they'll print it.
Matt, seriously.
Hmm?
I don't like that man.
Oh?
There's something about him. I don't know what it is.
Well, he seems all right, Kitty. Maybe you're just not used to photographers.
Well, neither are you.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, you better come.
Now, what's the matter?
Out at the end of Bridge Street, they just found Old Toad. He's dead.
Dead?
But that ain't all. He's been scalped.
Yummy. He's been scalped. He went to the stadium and he paid for all kinds of money for bad tickets.
Yeah.
Got scalped.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting story going on. I tell you what, there's something about this story. Again, I heard this way back. If I wasn't in junior high, I was in high school. We had this one on LP. And the thing that they did, that they just did earlier, something I have done my entire life now. Whenever somebody has me count something out, I do count out 1 Missouri, 2 Missouri, 3 Missouri, 4 Missouri, you know, each one being a second.
We always did Mississippi.
Did you? Yeah, I was in Missouri
because
this episode of Gunsmoke is why I did that.
And I've heard other people say potato, 1 potato, 2 potato.
I can never get past more potatoes, that's all, on that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, potatoes are good. Very bad
potatoes,
for diabetes,
potatoes,
but very good otherwise.
Yeah, they're, it was always my favorite vegetable to my daughter-in-law inform me, it's not a vegetable, it's a starch. And I said, thank you very much.
Now I'm in love.
Well, there are, other, well, darn. If you put ranch all over it, doesn't that put some sort of vegetable nutrition in it?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. Does ranch have vegetable nutrition? I like my salad with croutons and bacon bits and salad dressing and a few finely diced tomatoes and onions and just a little bit of lettuce. That's what I have in
no
my
cheese?
Salad. Oh, yeah. When it's available, I have the cheese with it, too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I was going to say.
At least a little less room for lettuce, though, so it's good.
Oh, yes, and at least 1 leaf of lettuce and the little bit of parsley that's inside of the ranch.
Nah, that's some good eating. I've taken to having spinach salads of lately. Spinach salads. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
if you get the right dressing, it doesn't matter. Although they don't make That's enough true. Dressing to cover kale, so I'm not doing kale.
Oh, come
and
over to the doctor.
Just 2 weeks, it's going to be St. Patrick's Day. And we're doing
Isn't
not
it?
Only the obligatory corned beef, but we're going to try to make Colcannon. CW, you would like that. Can you do butter in your diet, CW?
Yes.
Okay. Colcannon. Very good. It has potatoes.
What is that?
Cabbage and green onion.
Potato, cabbage, and green onion. What is it? Is it baked? Or do you bake
No, it's like a mashed potato. You mash your potatoes, you know, like you would normally make them, however you make them, okay? And on the side, you cook a whole bunch of cabbage, like a half a head, finely shredded. And you get it soft, you know what I mean? Then you cook it in some butter, and you don't burn it, though. You don't want to brown it. You're just going to soften it up some more and get that buttery flavor in it. You put that on the side, then you get a little bit of, they call for a little bit of milk, and you have chopped green onion in there, you know? You get that all nice and hot, throw a little butter in there too, what the hell? Then you pour that stuff in, mix it with your mashed potatoes. It's called Colcannon. And when you serve it, you make a little volcano and put a blop of butter in there. serve it hot, you get to watch that little volcano. Yeah, it's called Colcannon. Very Irish.
Yeah.
So we're going to try that as a side dish with the corned beef this year.
Thank you, Julia Child. That's cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
And there you have it, good listeners. Another Erie House recipe. Bon appetit.
Yeah, there you go. And let's whet your appetite with the conclusion of the photographer. From Gunsmoke, Part 2, the conclusion. Where's my mouse? There we go.
What do you make of it, Matt?
I don't know, Doc.
Neither do I. There hasn't been any Indian trouble lately. Surely no Indian come this close to town.
Doc, it wasn't an Indian. That's not the way they use a knife.
Well, then, who did do it, Mr. Dillon? Old Toad wasn't much good, but he never hurt nobody.
There's another funny thing, Matt. Doesn't look like it was done right here, but like it was done over there by that building. And then he was dragged out here into the open.
Yeah, out in the open. Into the sunlight. Now, wait a minute.
What are you looking for, Mr. Dillon?
This, right here, Chester.
Well, I don't see nothing.
Those three little marks on the ground there. You know what makes marks like that?
No, what?
The three-legged stand they use for a surveyor's instrument. Or a camera.
Camera? Matt, no man would do that just for a picture.
Well, there's one way to find out. Oh, Professor. Looks like you're packing. Are you going someplace?
Oh, yes, Marshal. I've covered Dodge pretty thoroughly. Now I want to go out onto the plains and get some pictures. You know, buffalo hunters, Indians.
Aren't you leaving kind of sudden?
Well, what do you mean? I've been planning to go down into the Indian territory.
Well, they might be pretty dangerous right now, Professor.
Oh, I'm not timid, Marshal.
Oh, I know that. But did you hear there's Indian trouble starting? A man was scalped this morning right here in Dodge.
Yes, I heard something of it, but I'm not frightened.
Why not, Professor? Because you know it wasn't an Indian that did it?
Just what do you mean, Marshal?
I'd just like to know how you were able to get there and take a picture of Toad before anybody else knew anything about it.
Perhaps I was just lucky, Marshal. I met the man who found him.
I think it was more than luck.
Are you accusing me of killing them?
Maybe you didn't do it yourself, but I think you hired it done.
Can you prove that?
I can when I find the man you hired.
The whole thing is ridiculous, Marshal. Besides, he was nothing but a scavenger, a derelict.
He was a man, and it was murder. Whoever did it will hang for
it. Well, it's no concern of mine. Unless, of course, I can take a photograph of the hanging.
You'll do anything for a picture, won't you?
Well, almost anything, Marshal. Like I told that girl, anything for art's sake. And that was a good picture I got of Toad, Marshal. Perhaps you'd like to see it.
No, thanks.
Well, it's going to be quite a feather in my cap when I take it back east to Harper's.
Maybe you won't take it back east, Jacoby. This might be one picture you paid too high a price for.
Matt, why didn't you lock him up?
I got no proof against him, Doc, unless I can find the man who actually did it. And I got no idea who that is. Jacoby's been seen around town with a lot of men, but nobody's special.
He's liable to skip town on you.
Well, I hope so.
What's that?
Well, I figure he's going down into Indian territory. He won't go alone. Even he's not that foolish. And the logical one to go along with him is a man he'd already hired to do a job for him.
Mm. Yeah, that's so.
Anyway, it's the last chance I got.
Well, the town sure stirred up about it. You'd never have thought old Toad had a single friend.
Sure, they're upset. They think it was Indians.
And the professor put the picture on display in the window of the Dodge House. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard.
And maybe it was him started the talk about calling the cavalry out against the Indians.
Well, he'd like nothing better than an Indian war to photograph.
What kind of a man is that?
I don't know, Doug.
Mr. Dillon? Moss Grimmick says the professor left town just before dawn this morning.
Alone?
Nope. Tom Grubbs was with him.
Tom Grubbs. Sure. A two-bit would-be gunman. All right. Now all we got to do is catch up with him.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your favorite easy chair? Or out driving? Oh, there you are. In the kitchen. Say, you want to make whatever you're doing more enjoyable? Have a Chesterfield. Enjoy Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Why Chesterfield? Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
I like it, Mr. Dillon. I don't like it a little bit.
What, Chester?
All this Indian sign.
You just keep your eyes open. We'll manage. I guess Jacoby will be happy. He should be getting all the pictures he can use. I notice he's stopped several times.
Pictures? I hope I never meet another photographer.
Well, maybe they aren't all like him, Chester.
Well, I hope not.
Hold up, Chester.
Hmm? What, Mr. Dillon?
Something over in that clump of weeds there.
Marshal.
What, the man? A white man? Mr. Dillon, it's Grubb.
Yeah, come on.
Oh. Marshal.
Mr. Dillon, he's been hurt bad. He's bleeding.
Yeah, he's been knifed.
Help me, Marshal.
Where's Jacoby?
Over there, somewhere. I don't know. I ran, hit.
What happened?
Indian, Cheyenne. I told Jacoby, but he wouldn't listen. I tried to tell him, but he wouldn't listen.
Told him what?
About the burial ground. Bad enough just being here. And then him trying to take pictures of Cheyenne. There was only three of them. But when he saw him taking a picture of the burial ground,
my goodness, that's bad, Mr. Dillon. Uh-huh. They get awful mad when somebody fools around the burying place.
What did they do, Grubbs?
He attacked us. Fought one of them off, and I ran and hid. I guess it couldn't find me.
Grubbs, why don't you tell me about it?
About what?
About Toad.
All right, I'll tell you. Professor gave me a lot of money. I guess I shouldn't have done it. If Marshall?
Yeah.
I didn't even get my picture took. Ain't that...
He sure was some gunman, killing a helpless little old man for money.
Yeah. Now let's see about Jacoby now.
Hey, Mr. Dillon, you think them Cheyenne might still be around?
No, they just showed up by now, Chester.
There's the burial ground. Hey, look. There's his camera.
Yep. All smashed.
And his pictures? All scattered around, is it? My gracious.
Chester, huh? Over here.
That ain't a nice sight, is it, Mr. Dillon?
There's a kind of justice in it, Chester.
Yeah. They did to him just what he had Grubbs do to old Toad.
Well, we better bury him. Then maybe we better gather up those pictures.
What for?
They'll send them back east for him. Maybe they'll be immortal like he hoped. Who knows? He might turn out to be a big hero.
And wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. Not there have been heroes like that before. All right, come on.
Along with our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild. Yet they satisfy the most.
You know, at best, it was hard to scratch out a living on the high plains. But next week, hunger, disease, and a baby combined to defeat a man. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The special music for Gunsmoke was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, and James Nusser. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
I wanted to play Kitty. They wouldn't let
Live
me.
Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Live modern. Smoke L&M. Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobacco.
Fugs.
No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you the full, exciting flavor you get through the pure white miracle tip. So light up. Free up. Let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.
Yee-haw.
Between the gun smoke, the Chesterfield smoke, and the L&N smoke, I had to grab my N95 mask.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what they said when they sent pictures of Matt Dillon back to back east? I didn't know he was so big.
He's a big and man.
Not in the James Ernest way.
Ooh.
I'm so sorry. Or am I? I don't know. Did we learn
what's
anything?
What's even sorrier? Yes, that's even sorrier than what you said. Yes, I do.
Rehouse Radio reluctantly presents Carlos. Moral of the story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. The three most dangerous photography jobs are: 3, photographing in Indian burial grounds; 2, war photography; 1, baby photography. Exactly.
Or we might have said. The Godzilla seal of approval.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, and then there was one, huh?
Yeah. What other good photography-related horror films or thrillers have we seen besides the Twilight Zone we mentioned earlier? Anything come to mind? Movies? Television programs about camera things?
I'm thinking. I don't know. There's maybe about, actually Bob Hope, my favorite brunette. He was a child photographer. Got locked into this murder mystery. That wasn't really the theme of it, although that was his occupations. I think there's the things where they were their occupations, like Casey, crime photographer, and a man with a camera. But
smile, you're on candid camera. Not really
yeah,
sci-fi or
true.
Horror, but hey.
And, no, which is candid micro, which is candid
yeah.
microphone, but before it was candid camera. Yeah,
she's back. She's back.
I'm back. Well, at least we not forget our favorite reporter, Carl Kolchak, with his slide little camera, whatever.
Now, what was that, Foggs? You have one just like that. What was that? It's an Instamatic camera. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Kodak Instamatic, probably.
Yeah, took the cartridge in it.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a cartridge, but it wasn't the Instamatic camera that had the tower of flashes on it. It had a little.
Do they have the flash cube? The little flash cube, maybe?
No, I don't think it had but it had...
Yeah, no, it had a built-in. Had a built-in flash. At least his did. His did.
All right. Fox says, I got to look at it, too, now. What kind of camera did Carol Kolchak have? I'll bet Mark Lisiak would know.
Oh,
he
yes. Well,
know.
Actually... He would know. And by the way, Mr. Dowiziak is nominated for a Rando Award. He's nominated.
Is it Rondo? Is that Rondo Award?
Yeah. Rondo,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, Rondo Hatton Award.
So is our friend Don O'Malley.
Oh, for really?
Believe it or not.
For
Don's breakfast cereal.
And I believe Sally the Zombie Cheerleader is nominated.
Yep. She's had a recent surge back. I met her many years ago, and she was quiet for a long time, and lately she's exploded.
Yeah, kids are out of the house now, you know.
Ah. It's the other
way. A little
way
easier when the kids are out of the house, yeah.
It was the other way for me. My kids were my crutch, my actors and actresses.
Crutch?
Yeah. I rode their coattails as far as I could.
Yeah, but they have a lot of people. They have Elvira in there. They have Big Chuck and Little John in there, people who haven't really done a whole lot for many years. So it's kind of a shame that it isn't more... Of course, Mummy and the Monkey's in there, too.
Well, there you go.
I believe Penny Dreadful is in there for her
Penny
podcast.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for her podcast. Yeah.
Very nice.
So vote your Rando. Or Rondo.
That's right.
Rando,
you can
Rondo.
Write-ins. You can do write-ins.
Actually, you can do write-ins, yes.
Oh, yeah, hint, nudge, wink.
Wink of the eye, say
Dale, you're
a nod Dale, is as good as a wink.
Dale, you're going to drown your microphone, Dale.
What?
Would you like a disinfectant? Would you care for a disinfectant wipe?
No.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I like my microphone nice and slimy.
Oh.
Hey, if you didn't have germs to battle, then we'd be weakened, you know?
That's right. I have a protective wall of carcinogens. I fear nothing.
Here. But speaking of which, don't we have one more show?
We do, and it's a suspenseful show from Suspense. And it's titled Photo Finish.
Photo Finish. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it comes to us, it was episode number 202, and comes to us from July 18th of 1946.
Now, Roma Wines, R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Roma Wines presents
Suspense. Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Mr. Michael O'Shea as star of Photo Finish, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness in entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant, as Roma Wines bring you Michael O'Shea in a remarkable tale of...
Suspense!
Well, it was hot enough to fry eggs on the sidewalk, about the worst we'd had all year, and I hadn't made a dozen cash jobs since morning. But at 5 o'clock, I was still in there plugging because, well, that's the way I am. I level on a guy and a dame that look like they might go for a good two-shot and snap them and hand the guy the card that tells him how he can get three prints of that fine candid camera shot I just made of him for only a dollar. But he just brushes me off like all the rest. Well, it's the last shot on the roll, and I unload and figure to call it a day when I see a guy coming through the crowd that's dressed up as sharp as a tack, and he sort of glances at himself sideways in the store windows and generally seems extra fond of himself. So quick as a flash, I get me sights on him, and then a funny thing happens. He sort of staggers as though somebody had just come along, give him a big slap on the back, and he starts folding, and all so sudden that I can't even stop myself, and so help me, I snap him right in the middle of his dive. And then he's out like a light, and everybody, there's a crowd around. Everybody's saying, get the doctor and the heat. Somebody else is calling him. Enough is enough. I'm all burned up with this guy and the heat and the day and everything. So I just turn on my heel and head for Jake's place to cool off.
Hiya, Joe. What do you say? Cup of coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how'd you go today? Do any good?
Are you kidding? People don't want to have their pictures made when they got perspiration running down their faces and the guys are in their shirt sleeves and the dames' dresses are all wrinkled up out of shape. All they want to do is to get somewhere where they can cool off like me.
Yeah, that's right, all right, I guess.
What a day. And the payoff, here, listen to this. I'm making a guy just before I come in here. A swell shot it would have been, too. And just as I snap him, what do you suppose he does?
What?
He falls. He collapses right in the sidewalk. Ah, boom, the heat or something, I don't know.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, boy, do I pick the cash customers.
Oh, tough on a poor guy, huh?
Tough on him. What about me? I got a living to make, too, you know.
Well, yeah, that's right. Oh, pardon me.
Go ahead.
Jake's Friendly Pharmacy. Huh? Well, I don't know. Well, just a moment, I'll see. Hey, Joe, it's your wife.
Uh-oh, I forgot. She told me specially to be home early today. She got a steak for tonight.
What'll I tell her?
Tell her I just left. No, wait a minute. Tell her you ain't seen me all day.
Okay. No, he's not here, Mrs. Mooney. No, I haven't. Yes, Mrs. Mooney. Yeah, I sure will. Yeah. She said if I see you. Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe, wait.
I ain't got time. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Joe.
Yoo-hoo. Hello, honey.
Don't honey me.
Something smells good. Supper ready?
Is supper ready? Oh, of course supper's ready. The potatoes are all nice and dried up and the meat's good and tough. Supper's been ready for an hour.
Oh, it has? Oh, gee,
You know I told you to be home on time tonight. You think they're handing steaks out for good behavior nowadays?
Well, gosh, Maud, I forgot.
Forgot. You'd forget your name if it wasn't pasted inside your hat. Where have you been?
Why, I was working.
This late? On a day like this? Hey, wait a minute. Let me look at you.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Maud. Now, wait. Maud, listen. Something happened today. I wasn't going to tell you about this. I was going to spare your feelings.
This one, it better be good.
Well, it shook me up pretty bad. I don't mind telling you. And that was the whole trouble why I was late.
Yeah, I suppose this time you found an atom bomb in a suitcase and you picked it up.
No, Maud. Listen, Maud, I'm serious. I saw a man die today, Maud.
Well, they do it every day, don't they?
Yeah, but Maud, I was taking his picture. He died right while I was snapping it, right at me feet. Swooned.
I suppose he grabbed you around the ankle so you couldn't come home.
But Maud, they thought it was murder.
Murder? Who thought so?
Why, everybody. The people that saw it, they was asking me all kinds of questions.
Oh, Joe. Oh, what do you want to tell me a story like that for?
I swear, Maud, I swear. I can prove it. I got the film. I'll develop it right here tonight. I got it right here in me camera, and I'll get me my...
Now what?
My camera. I must have forgot it.
I might have known this was all leading up to something. Where's the ticket?
The what?
You know what? The pawn ticket.
Oh, Maud, you got me all wrong. The camera's all right. It's right where I left it, right in Jake's place.
Ah, Jake's place. Well, which is it, the hawk shop or Jake's place?
Oh, Maud, I was only in there for a minute.
Oh, Joe, how can you do it? Losing your camera, hanging around in that cheap joint when you know we're trying to save up for a studio of our own? Oh, Joe, we're never going to get out of this rut.
Oh, Maud, look. I had to leave the camera there.
Had to? Why?
Because of that picture. I was scared to bring it home. It might be evidence or
Joe,
something.
Joe, you just said a minute ago you had it with you. You said that you...
Oh,
who in the world could that be?
I'll get it, honey. You stay right here. That's it. Just rest yourself. I'll go to the door.
Your name, Mooney?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
sidewalk photographer, ain't
yes,
you?
Yes, indeed, that's right.
Did you take a picture of a guy keeling over on Main Street about 5 o'clock this afternoon?
That's right. I was just telling my wife...
You got your camera here with the picture?
No, I left it downtown.
You better come along with us, then.
Hey, say, what is this? Who are you?
Police headquarters.
Police?
Police? Say, what is this all about?
You ought to know. You saw the guy bumped off, didn't you?
Bumped off, yeah. Maud, the guy is dead. He was murdered. Of course, I could see now how that picture of mine would be pretty important evidence, so naturally I'm glad to go along with these coppers and help them out all I can. When we get out on the sidewalk, there's a car there and two other guys sitting in it, all plain clothes cops, evidently the homicide squad, I suppose, and we go over to this other car.
That's the guy?
Yeah. But he don't have it with him.
Where is it?
Downtown. I forgot and left there. A place on Main Street.
Oh, that's bad. We got that other call they're making. Main Street's out of the way.
Well, gee, I'm sorry. It just happened tonight. I forgot.
You talk when you're told to. The rest of the time, you keep quiet, see?
Well, sure, officer. Just
well, we go by this joint on Main Street, and then we make the other call.
No, we can't. We got to be on time for that one. Right on time. Going by Main Street, we'd never make it.
Then we got to take this mug along.
Well, say, that'll make it awful crowded after we leave the... Well, after we leave the other place.
Hey, Mooney, you got a car?
Why, certainly, officer. The one right ahead.
Hey, that's an idea. We take his car and put the...
All right. You and Harry take him in his car. Harry drives, you follow us. You got it?
Okay, Frankie.
Let's go.
We get in my car and start downtown after the others. Now, the cop they call Harry is driving, and I'm sitting in the back seat with the other one. At first, I don't say nothing, especially after the crack that other cop had made. And anyway, I see these two are sort of tense and nervous. I can see these cops are taking this crime pretty serious. But after a while, they loosen up between themselves, and I look for a chance to get myself into the conversation.
Frankie's taking it easier than I thought.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to be those guys that messed it up.
Say, I sure hope I can be of some help to you fellas.
Oh, I wouldn't worry none about that.
Yeah, that's about the least of your worries.
Well, it's nice of you to put it that way. Say, you got any clues? I mean, like who killed this guy or anything?
Yeah, some guys that didn't like him.
Oh. Gee, it's funny, though. I never would have thought it. I mean, I didn't notice anything like a shot or anything.
It was a silencer job.
You talk too much.
What's the difference? You'll read it all in the papers, won't he?
You still talk too much.
Where are we going now?
The morgue.
Oh, yeah. The morgue?
Yeah, we want you to sort of identify the body.
We get to the morgue and drive up to the entrance and wait outside while these cops and the other car go in. To fix it up for me to do my stuff, I figure. But in about 5 minutes, they come running out and two of them are carrying something wrapped up in a sheet. And I don't need no x-ray eyes to see it is a stiff. And then they throw it into our car on the floor of the back seat like it was a bundle of wood. And then we take out of there like somebody was after us, following the other car heading for the west side of town. I don't know, it all happened so fast, and I'm hanging on so tight when we go around the corners on two wheels and trying to keep my feet out of this stiff space and beginning to feel not so good about the whole thing. Well, at first, I don't dare open my mouth for fear my heart will jump right out to me lap. But after a while, I can't help it. I just got to find out what it's all about. I guess that's the body, huh?
This boy's bright, Harry. He must have went to college.
When do you want me to identify it?
Oh, you'll have plenty of time for that, Junior.
Guess you're not going by the joint in Main Street for my camera, huh?
One thing at a time, bud. One thing at a time.
You ask too many questions. That ain't healthy.
Healthy?
Hey, listen.
Cops! Look, Frankie's signaling.
Yeah, he means we should separate. Take your next turn to the left and head for the hills.
Cops? What are cops chasing us for? If you guys are... Oh, my God!
The best thing we can do is ditch this heap. I ain't taking no rap for Frankie in a job like this.
You ain't cops. You guys ain't cops at all.
Well, what do we do with him?
What do you think?
Hey, now, wait. What are you guys going to do?
What are you...
No, wait a minute. That is the last thing I remember. A world full of stars. A veritable blackout.
For Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you Michael O'Shea in Photo Finish. a radio play by Roy Grandy and Robert Richards. Roma Wine's presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Between the acts of Suspense, this is Truman Bradley reminding you that as the temperature goes up, so does the popularity of tall, frosty, thirst-quenching drinks. And topping them all for cooling, delicious refreshment is Roma Wine and Soda, iced, America's smartest, coolest summer drink. Roma Wine and Soda, so cool for a hot, tired husband to come home to, so delightfully pleasing to guests. And serving Roma Wine and Soda is simplicity itself. You just half-fill tall glasses with Roma California Burgundy, or Sauterne, or any other Roma wine type you prefer. Then add ice and sparkling water and sweeten to taste. Good. You'll agree Roma Wine and Soda, iced, is the coolest, most refreshing tall drink you ever tasted. And remember, because Roma wines are selected for your pleasure from the world's greatest reserves of wines, your Roma Wine and Soda is better tasting every time. Yes, Roma, drawn from the world's greatest reserves of fine wines, brings you unvaryingly fine wine always, at reasonable cost. So insist on Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma wines. Discover for yourself why more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine.
And now Roma wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Michael O'Shea as fearless photographer Joe Mooney in Photo Finish. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
There's something that sounds like heavy machinery at work where my brains ought to be. And every time this machine turns over, it feels like it's going to blow the top off my head. And I'm all sprawled out someplace. And then it turns out to be the back seat of a car. I manage to stumble over something that's down on the floor. And then I'm out of this car and standing in a little dirt road, and it's sometime at night. I don't know what it's all about. I don't know what I'm doing here at all. And then I see that this is my car. And that makes some sense. And then I remember my camera. I gotta get my camera, that's it. On account of Mort says I shouldn't have left it. Jake's place, that's where I left it. And so I crawl back into the car, and I get it turned around and headed down this dirt road. Pretty soon I'm on a bigger road. And then I'm on the main highway back to town. All the time I'm thinking, this is a funny thing for me to be doing. But the main thing is, I gotta get the camera. And then I'm pulling up in front of Jake's place and I'm going in.
Hey, Joe, where you been? Your wife was looking for you.
Maud, was she in here?
Yeah, she come down to pick up your camera.
Oh, well, that's okay then. That's what I came by for.
Hey, you all right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, you don't look it. Where's your hat?
Hat? What hat? I don't know. Maybe it's out in the car.
Hey, come here. What happened to your head?
Ouch, don't touch it.
You better go home and get some sleep, Joe, and have somebody look at that head. Put some tincture of mercurochrome on it. Mm. Oh, this ain't like you at all.
No. Yeah, I better be going, huh?
Oh, wait. Here, your wife left her purse. She was kind of upset anyway. Worried about you, I guess.
Oh, thanks.
Boy, you're a lucky guy, Joe. I didn't know the missus was anything like that. What a knockout.
Huh?
Yeah, she's gorgeous, Joe.
That don't sound like Maud.
It don't. Well, it was.
Hey, what did this dame look like that picked up my camera?
Listen, you ain't so far gone you can't remember what your own wife looks like, are you?
No, only this ain't my wife's purse.
It ain't?
No. What did the dame look like?
Oh, medium size, young, blonde, terrific figure, gorgeous face.
Uh-uh. That ain't Maud.
No?
No. Maud is kind of, well... but she's nothing like that.
Well, what do you know?
Listen, Jake. I've been having some awful peculiar experiences tonight.
Yeah? You must have been.
Yeah. I better call Maud. She can always figure these things out.
Now, wait a minute, Joe. Maybe you had an order just now. I wish you'd let me fix you up with a little something to straighten you out. I got the greatest thing in the world for you. It'll make you feel a lot better. I saw it come in the other night. He was... Oh, I picked him up. Not at all.
Hello?
Hello. Oh, hello, Maud.
Oh, well, it's about time you turned up. I've been worried to death.
Listen, Maud, I came by to get the camera. Only some girl, some blonde, had already picked it up. But I'm going to find it now and get the camera, so don't
now,
you
just
worry.
Listen to me. Don't you go getting mixed up with any blondes. You're mixed up enough already.
Oh, but it's all right, Maud. I'll just pick up the camera and come right home. It's funny, though. When she came by here to get it, she said she was you.
Yeah, that's not all that's funny. You're in pretty deep, Joe Mooney. In the first place, those men you went out with weren't the police at all.
Those men, the cops?
I'm trying to tell you they weren't cops.
Oh.
I called the police headquarters myself, and they said they never...
Wait, Maud. Now I remember. We were going to go to get my camera, only we didn't get it. We got in my car, and we went to the morgue, and then... Maud!
Joe!
My car! I got a dead man in my car!
Mm-mm. He doesn't know how lucky he is.
I never had a dead man in my car.
Me, not one. Not one.
Not one.
Not one.
Oh, my. So he, I guess his Maud is not as pretty as that other dame, eh?
Well, in stories, they never are. Yeah.
Yep.
Guess so. Well, as they say, and then there's Maud.
yeah, Fogsbane's got it going on.
Yeah.
Snowman James joins us in the chat. Along with good old
hello.
Bob and Foggy. Yep. Thanks for joining us. We're midway through an exciting tale, really, from suspense.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here in a short amount of time. So,
yeah, we might even have a little extra bonus time at the end for some bonus material.
Ooh.
What, on a Friday bonus time? Whoa.
Yeah, who knew? Who knew?
Oh my
That's
God.
The fast Stop pace off. We run around here, let me tell you.
No wonder I'm out of breath.
That's right.
No, it's from inhaling all that Chesterfield and LMN smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, whether you use the filtered or that white special one that's unfiltered, yes.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
The white tip, yeah. Yeah.
Menthol. Yeah. I never liked
that. It's a whole cartridge in effect. Long and mild. Long and mild. LMM. Long and mild.
Yep.
Oh,
anywho,
my gosh.
Let's wrap up suspense with a photo finish of a story called Photo Finish.
Maud!
Joe!
It's my
what?
Car!
Coincidence.
I got a dead man in my car!
Hey, Joe, what's the matter? You look like you've seen a ghost.
Don't say that, Jake. Now, come on, you got to help me. Come on.
Well, okay, Joe, but...
Come on, out in my car. I'll show it to you, Jake. What'll I do? What am I going to do?
Show me what?
The stiff, the dead man.
What?
Yeah, in my car.
Now, listen, Joe, come on back inside. Let me fix you up a little something.
No,
huh?
No, it's there, I'm telling you. We got to do something.
Okay, Joe, but let's
Quiet.
Just leave
Everyone
it there for a while, huh? Maybe it'll go away.
Go.
Hey, Freddy.
All right. You think I'm crazy, huh?
No, but...
But here, look.
Yeah?
Oh, no. It's gone.
Well, there. Now, isn't that nice?
Jake, no, look, on the level, Jake, I remembered the whole thing now. I was hijacked by gangsters,
yeah.
And they stole the stiff out of the morgue.
Uh-huh.
The guy that was killed that I took the picture of, remember?
Yeah.
And then the cops chased us, and they hit me on the head.
Sure.
And when I talked to Maud, the whole thing came back to me.
Well, sure it did, Joe. Now, you come on back inside. Let me fix you.
I couldn't have dreamed it all, Jake. I couldn't have dreamed it. Could I?
Now, you just sit down right here, and I'll fix
Now, wait,
you
listen, Maud will tell you, Jake. She called the cops when I didn't show up. And what's that blonde doing after my camera? What about her?
Well, now, that's a different story. That wasn't no ghost.
Jake, I gotta get that camera.
Now, listen, in the first place, you don't know how to find the dame.
Well, maybe it isn't a dress and a purse.
And in the second place, if there was all these gunzels and stiffs and all, maybe she's mixed up with them. And in the third place, hey, that reminds me, there was a funny thing about that camera.
Yeah, here's her address. Here, right here.
When your wife called, the first time, I mean, on the phone, I guess it was your wife. Well, anyway, she said for me to... Oh, pardon me. Wait a minute. Jake's Friendly Pharmacy.
Jake's Friendly Pharmacy.
Oh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, now, just a minute. Joe, it's the blonde on the phone now.
The blonde?
Yeah, she's still saying she's your wife, wants to know if she left her purse here.
Oh, well, I want to talk to her.
Yeah, well, okay, take her to the booth, huh, Joe? You know, the customer.
Yeah, customer. Hello?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry to trouble you. Did you find it?
Listen, madam, this is Joe Mooney. What's the idea of saying you're my wife and swiping my camera?
Oh, Mr. Mooney.
Yeah. Well, I'm listening.
Oh, Mr. Mooney, I don't know how to tell you.
Well, you better find out, because my wife, Maud, is plenty sore, and I want my camera.
Oh, I know it was a terrible thing to do, but that picture, you
took of the man who was killed.
Yeah?
He was my brother.
Your brother? Oh, gee.
Oh, I don't know why those terrible men killed him. He was wayward, but he wasn't a bad boy, and he was all I had.
Gee, I didn't know about that.
I never had a picture of him. I wanted a sort of last memento, but I didn't know if you'd... Oh, I'm so ashamed.
Why, sure, I'd give it to you. Sure, I would.
Would you?
Sure, you can have it.
Oh, Mr. Mooney.
What about my camera?
Oh, I have the camera. You can come up and get it now if you want to.
Well, that'd be fine if it ain't too late.
Oh, no. No, I sort of need company now.
Why, sure, you poor kid. Well, I'll be right up. I got your address right here.
Oh, Mr. Mooney, I don't know how to thank you.
Why, don't even try to mention it.
And would you mind bringing my purse when you come?
Why, certainly.
I'll be waiting.
Okay, babe. Miss, I'll be right up. Well, on the way up, I get to thinking this is an awful funny picture to want as a souvenir of a guy. A shot of him getting bumped off in the street. But, of course, there's no accounting for dames. And then I figure she probably don't even know the kind of a shot it is, the poor kid. And I figure I better break it to her as gentle as I can, which is only what anyone else would do, especially if she's the knockout that Jake says... And she is.
Mr. Mooney?
Yeah.
Won't you come in?
Well, thank you, Miss,
O'Day.
O'Day.
Oh, Mr. Mooney, you must think I'm a terrible person.
Why, no, not at all, Miss O'Day. Why, I knew the minute I talked to you on the phone that you wasn't like some girls. I mean that you was the real thing.
Oh, Mr. Mooney.
Here's your purse.
Oh, thank you.
You, got my camera?
Oh, yes, I've got the camera. But, you were going to give me the picture, weren't you?
Oh, sure. After you give me the camera.
After I give you the camera?
Yeah, you see, the picture, the film, that is still in the camera.
Oh, but it isn't, Mr. Mooney. I looked.
It isn't? But it's got to be.
Are you trying to tell me you don't have the film, Mr. Mooney?
Well, how could I? I ain't had my hands in that camera since I left it at Jake's this afternoon.
Look, Mr. Mooney, let's not be difficult. Just give me the film.
But I ain't got it, I'm telling you. I ain't got it.
All right, boys.
What boys? Hey,
hello, Junior.
Hey, where did they come from?
They're friends of mine.
Yeah, but they put a dead body in my car.
Oh, that's stiff. Well, now, wait a minute. Don't you worry about that, none. He's in a nice, safe place.
All right. We ain't got all night. Where's that film?
Film? I don't know.
Frisk him.
Okay, hold still now, Junior. Hold still.
But, Miss O'Day, these guys, that body, that was your brother.
It's getting so you just can't believe nothing the dame tells you. Ain't it true, Junior, huh? I don't have it on him, Frankie.
Now, look, fellas, I don't want to have no trouble. All I want is my camera.
We don't want no trouble.
Now, listen, Mooney. We want that film, and we don't care how we get it. So talk and talk fast.
Yeah, but how could I have it? I ain't had the camera. Nobody could have got that film except her, unless Jake...
Jake, the mug at the drugstore.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think that guy's got it?
Get it, Gene.
Okay. Yeah? Yeah? All right, okay. Thanks, Harry. It's a tip-off. They're on their way up here.
Oh, come on. We got to scram.
What about him?
What do you think?
Oh, no. Now, wait a minute. Oh! I can see it coming, but I can't move. And there's that world full of stars again. And that veritable blackout. It was all like something that had happened before. That big machine banging away in my head. And the thoughts beginning to flow up around it little by little. Only this time I'm in a room. The lights are on, but there's nobody there. And then I saw my camera and I remembered. I remembered there was a phone someplace too, and I found it and crawled over to it and started dialing my number.
Hello?
Maud.
Joe.
I got the camera, Maud.
The camera. Never mind the camera, you nitwit. Where are you?
Well, I came up to that blonde's place, you see.
Blonde, my Aunt Fanny. Don't you know by this time you're mixed up with a bunch of gangsters?
Yeah, I know. They wanted that film.
Never mind about the film, either. You just come home.
Yeah, but the film wasn't in a camera.
Now, you listen to me, Joe Mooney. I know all about that film. I don't trust anybody, not even the police, and I realize that film might be pretty valuable. So after you left, I phoned Jake and told him to take the film out of the camera before he gave it to anybody. Mm. And then Jake came back to the phone and told... Are you listening?
Maud, wait. There's somebody coming.
Joe!
Maud, I gotta go. Hello. I grab my camera and find a service entrance in the kitchen, and even though my head feels like it's bouncing on every step, I'm down those back stairs on wings. Then I'm into my car, and 10 blocks away before I bet them guys up there have even had time to crack the lock on the door. And I keep on going until I'm back where there's plenty of light. And then I feel really safe, and believe me, I heave some sigh of relief. Oh, boy. Well, I'd be glad to see Maud in the old shack. Well, it's about that time I noticed this other car pulling up alongside.
Hey, you! Pull over!
Huh?
Pull over to the side. We're from headquarters.
Ah, no, you don't, brother. Not twice you don't. Not to this cookie. I got the jump on him, and I got that thing down to the floor because I figure my luck is about to run out. And if I'm dumb enough to let these guys grab me again, I don't deserve to answer for the consequences. I make a right and head for the lower part of town that's just cut out for ducking wide chumps like them. And then I look around to see where they are. Ah, they're a good half a mile behind. I figure to make it easy. Only when I look back at the road, there ain't no road. There's a lamppost. Mooney, you're gonna know them stars better than the head of the planetarium is what I'm thinking when it happens. This time I am walking, and a guy all dressed in white has me by the arm, so naturally I think I'm coming up to the pearly gates. And sure enough, there's a big iron gate, only it looks too much like the door of the bullpen at headquarters to suit me. And a guy that looks like a guard is opening it, and then I'm in a room with a lot of people, cops and all them gangsters and the blonde and Maud.
He's still a little dazed, but he'll be all right.
Maud?
Joe, for heaven's sake, what happened to your head?
Plenty.
I'm sorry about the accident, Mrs. Mooney, but he tried to run away from us.
Nah, I expect he brought it on himself, all right. He usually does.
We just want to ask him one question, Mrs. Mooney, if he feels like answering it.
Of course he can answer it.
Mr. Mooney, can you identify these people as the one who stole the dead body out of the morgue?
I sure can, and how?
That's all, then, Mrs. Mooney. We'll call you when we need you again.
He does get the reward, though, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, he'll get the reward, all right.
The reward?
You better get him home now, Mrs. Mooney.
Yeah, yeah, come on, Joe.
Yeah, but Maud, wait, what is this with this reward him?
$10,000.
$10,000.
Steady, Joe, steady.
$10,000.
Oh, goodness, Joe, don't you know yet what's been going on?
Well, why...
Listen, Joe, those people were wanted all over the country.
Sure,
they're a gang of bank robbers or
crooks.
Something. Now, that man they killed had double-crossed him somehow, see?
Dead.
And then they went to the morgue, and they held up the attendant, and they stole the body and disposed of it, you see?
Sure.
Because they figured with the body and that film of yours out of the way, there wouldn't be any evidence against them.
Yeah, that's right. The film.
Oh, no.
I guess that film was pretty important evidence, huh? $10,000 worth.
Oh, Joe Mooney, you are a nitwit. You're the only one who could identify him, that's all.
Maybe I'm a nitwit, but I wasn't too dumb to get that $10,000 picture, was I, huh? Well, was I?
Oh, you took the picture, all right.
All right.
But there wasn't any film.
No film?
Because you forgot to put film in your camera.
Mine.
Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. July, one of the warmest months, calls for tall, frosty, iced drinks. And during these hot, sultry days, I always call for Roma Wine Lemonade, a cool, thirst-quenching treat that's tempting, tasty, delicious. Yes, when temperatures soar, Roma Wine Lemonade is the first choice as a tall, cool refresher after a sweltering day's work. As a low-cost, easy-to-serve party drink for summer guests. Here's how. In a tall glass, place ice and the juice of half a lemon. Pour 3/4 full with Roma, California Burgundy, or any other Roma wine type you choose. Fill with water, sweeten to taste, and stir. Presto! You've a drink fit for a tropical king. Remember, a refresher made with Roma, selected from the world's greatest wine reserves, is better tasting naturally. So be sure to enjoy Roma Wine Lemonade. Insist on Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma Wine, largest selling wine in all history.
Oh, this is Mike O'Shea, hey. I've certainly enjoyed appearing on Suspense, a long-time favorite of mine, you know what I mean? Well, next Thursday, I'm sure you'll want to be listening when one of Hollywood's finest radio actors, Mr. Elliot Lewis, will appear as star of Suspense, in a play of which he is also the author.
Next Thursday, same time, Roma Wines will bring you Mr. Elliot Lewis
as star of Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills.
Produced by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yeah.
That wraps up our regularly scheduled programs. Suspense. Almost comical at the end there.
It was. It does lead us to our moral of the story, I guess.
Indeed it does. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a Garless Moral of the Story.
Yes, apologies, Igar. Before you're a victim of a kidnapping, a concussion, and a dead body in your car, make sure you have film in your camera. There you go.
He finds that very funny, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so. He's the only one, but okay.
Yucking it up. The old Beechuck laugh, as we call it.
Yep, at least we call it that. Yes, we do.
Not sure what that's from originally.
Yeah, I'll try and find it out.
Is it Three Stooges, perhaps, or...
No, definitely not Stooges.
I think it may have been the Ajax, Hudson and Landry group.
Could be. They got a lot of their sound bites from there.
They did, yeah.
Why those dirty? Fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Yep. And we got some time for more fun stuff, I think.
We do.
Yes. Yeah.
And let's see who shall take their turn at the wheel.
Oh, CW is a master at the wheel.
Well, certainly, I can do multitasking things. So as I run from the vehicle to the wheel, spin.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
This is Eddie Cantor, and the name of the show is Ask Eddie Cantor. Remember how bright and clean your aluminum pots and pans were when you first bought them? How'd you like them looking that way again? Then use new AlumaGlow. AlumaGlow is especially developed to clean and polish aluminum. Removes tarnish and discoloration quickly, easily. Even stubborn cooked-down stains disappear without hard rubbing. AlumaGlow is safe, gentle on your hands, and it won't scratch. Get AlumaGlow. Charlie Rosenberg, Baltimore, Maryland, just saw an old Fred Astaire picture. We think he's the greatest dancer in America. What is your opinion? I not only think he's the greatest dancer in America, but the greatest in the world. I can remember the late Bill Robinson and I going into a rehearsal hall where we watched Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. After a while, Robinson said, "Man, oh man, that Astaire. He has the legs of man of war. When I watch him dance, I'd like to exchange my dancing shoes for a card in the Bootblacks Union." And this from one of the greatest dancers show business ever knew. This is signed anonymous from Atlanta, Georgia. Do you think we'll have as many Western programs in the future on TV? Personally, I think we will. Despite the criticism, people still like them. My friend Myron Cohn, the great storyteller, told me about the Brooklyn kid who watched 6 Wild West programs on TV every day. His mother sought one evening to lure him away from the set and into dinner. But the kid shot his pistol in the air and said, "Thanks, Pod, but I reckon I ain't got any hankering tonight for pizza pie. I'll be back in a moment." Norman Klein, North Carolina. You do a lot of talking before women's organizations. Do you find them a better audience than men? Well, in a way, I do. They are much more alert and enthusiastic. The last place I spoke was at a luncheon at the Waldorf in New York City before 800 women. Shelley Winters and Victor Borger shared the platform with me. Shelley told us about her ex-husband, Victoria Gassman. He was a very emotional fellow, admitted Shelley. He would grab me in his arms, hold me close, and tell me how wonderful he was. But Victor Borger topped us both. He said when you give your wife presents, she goes through 3 stages. First, she'll say, "You're the sweetest, most generous husband in the world." Then she'll accept the gift with, "Well, it's about time. I thought you'd never get it for me." And the last stage is when she says to herself softly, "He gave it to me without a struggle. I wonder what he's been up to." Are your aluminum pots and pans all darkened up, tarnished, or stained? Well, now you can add new luster to aluminum with new AlumaGlow. AlumaGlow dissolves oxide film. You call it tarnish. Floats it right away. And AlumaGlow polishes your aluminum to a satin luster. It's easy to use and kind to your hands. Add luster to your aluminum with new AlumaGlow. I can hardly wait for our next game of post office. So send your letters to me, Eddie Cantor, Beverly Hills, California. Buy now. Buy AlumaGlow.
That's right. Send in your aluminum, kids. We're going to make something cool. I don't know what, but we need your aluminum.
Yeah. What's going on tomorrow night on Erie House, Dale?
Oh, just a little bit of CBS Radio Mystery Theater. You're on Magic Camera. That's tomorrow. And maybe even a little visit from Baby Schnooks.
Yeah, you know, and this is my fault. I got to get that up there. And there's one I had for tonight with Charlie McCarthy. I'll get that up there, too. So I do apologize for that.
Here's a fond memory of photography in film land. How about Spanky getting his picture taken by that rather effeminate photographer?
I don't remember that one.
He was slapping the heck out of the dude. Don't you remember Spanky?
No.
Getting beaten up
on
the
photographer.
You mean from our gang?
Yeah, he was real tiny. It was one of the early ones with Spanky. And, he was beating the heck out of the photographer guy.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember that one. Cool.
I don't remember that one, but I do remember Bewitched when Tabitha first started getting her powers and the photographer. She made all the toys float.
Oh, God, yeah. Jeez, that's been a while.
There was also a Buster Keaton movie, The Photographer. I'd forgotten about that one. And a Red Skelton movie called Watch the Birdie.
Yep. There you go. So there you go with photography for today. Again, tomorrow, one more snap, just one more pose, one more time for CBS Radio Mystery Theater and a little bit more fun. See you then. Thanks for stopping by.
The lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
Her.
When next we meet in Frankenstein.
Watch it.
Don't come alone.
Don't come a joke.
Can you dig it?
takes care of that. I should have said that'll care. That'll make the little happy.
Thank you, Uncle Don.
Yes. There you go.
That was kind of a fake moment because actually the microphone the show was over when he said that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame.
Kermit Schaefer got a lot of things that were behind the scenes that he attributed as real bloopers, but he was great. He sure brought a lot of smiles to our lips with those great bloopers that he had.
Yes, yes, yes. They're fun. They are fun. That's what was the charm, I think, of Candid Camera, while we're speaking of camera shows, is it appeared to be mostly non-scripted.
It was, and they had some people in there that could easily play along for a while. After a while, he couldn't do it himself because he was so recognizable. But he got, like, Fanny Flagg and some people like that to join in on him. But he got to a point, because when he started in the 50s, actually, I think it was early 50s. Actually, I think it was late 40s with Candid Microphone. People just reacted differently. Now, you know, the last version of it was on the Playboy channel, and they said he just couldn't do it on broadcast television anymore because people's mouths were just so filthy they couldn't get away with it.
Yep.
I know people have little to no gateway nowadays, but I can't imagine people back then. I mean, the words we use now are not 21st century inventions. There must have been a few times when a few three or four letter words cross.
Yep.
If you ever look at the old Hollywood blooper reels, you'll find that. And the original Friars Club that was never filmed or recorded, those were absolutely filthy from what I understand.
Cool.
Wow.
Awesome. I'm a bad person.
We just, you know, we got to the point that the ones that we did see are now so unpolitically correct that they edit the crap out of them before they put them on. So don't watch those ones on TV. Like on Decades TV, don't watch that. It's edited so badly.
Half the fun is gone.
I remember one of the episodes. I remember many of them, but the one where what's his name? Fred Sanford, Red Fox.
Oh, gosh. He was very a blue comedian.
Very much so. But at the end, after everybody was done roasting him, he got up and told his story. And it cut it out at the end when he got to his punchline. Because what he said was something to the effect that, you know, he had a story about the kids that were, like, calling each other's names and stuff. So the bus driver stopped the bus, made everybody get out and say, you know, from now on, there's no color, there's nothing, everyone's green. Everyone is green. And then they cut it off. Well, the rest of the story was, as he always told it, as he told it on that show.
Yeah.
Well, so the dark green get to the back of the bus, and the light green you stay up front. That was the punchline, and that was him saying it. But they cut that out. They should have cut out the whole story if you're going to cut out the punchline.
Yeah, it just kills the whole. That's funny though. Red Fox was great.
Red Fox, yeah, he was. You know, that's how he survived in the old black nightclubs. Was his stand-up routine. And they were pretty much potty mouths in there. But he went to television. He could do it completely clean and put you on the floor.
Yeah.
Mostly because he couldn't say it, and the faces he made and the reactions he had, you know, made it that much funnier.
Especially when he called his son Dummy. Hey, Dummy.
you big dummy.
You big dummy. Oh, I love
Fred. You see, I know. I admire comics like that because he went from where a venue where he could get away with so much that was totally blue. I mean, 55 shades of blue. But he had the wherewithal and the cleverness to take it up several notches where he could just go on television and still hit a home run.
Well, it wasn't just that he could get away with it. He had to do that. That's what the way all the famous black comics were in those nightclubs. The records that he released were from those nightclubs.
Yep.
And those are hard to listen to for me. But,
yeah, I love it.
But when he got the television, Richard Pryor could do the same thing. He could be a potty mouth, but on the other hand, he could be straight laced on when he ever had to appear with Gene Wilder. He had to be clean, and he could still put you on the floor.
Clean in what sense?
clean in verbiage. Clean
oh, okay.
In verbiage.
I thought, that's certainly not blood test, but anyway.
Oh, wow.
Too soon? Oh.
Sister Knucklebuster. Sister,
you are bringing the sister in again, Dale.
My hands are bleeding. My hands are bleeding.
we need your industrial strength ruler.
No. My hands will be bleeding profusely.
It just goes to show that all the comics now, such as Dave Chappelle and everything, were being taken to task for being totally potty mouth because they don't have the wherewithal or the patience to take it up a notch. They just go for low-hanging fruit when they're telling
you.
Yeah.
Well,
but
it's
you know
shock
what?
Value,
the thing is,
and it's hard
right.
to shock people
but the
anymore.
Thing is, you know, like Andrew Dice Clay was, you know. and the answer to that, if I answer to that, is change the channel. That's what I used to do. If that would come on, I would change it. I don't deny him the right to do it or the right to get his message out there as such. Change the channel. Instead of fussing about what he says and what he does, change the channel.
Well, and you have to realize if you're being that absurd, it's an absurdity. It's a different kind of absurdity, that type of humor, I think.
Yeah, it's not anything.
I'm wrong.
It's not anything I do or enjoy, but it doesn't mean that other people don't. So I just change the channel. Why do people have to go through such outlandish things to protest and to get people thrown out and sponsors that have to withdraw because people get upset at this that they sponsored this person's show or whatever. It's absolutely insane when all you have to do, there are literally thousands of channels out there now. Change the channel.
Oh, guys, you ready for this? Again, I hate to promote. I'm sure you could get it on Fire Stick too, but the Roku channel, okay, it has a live TV option. There are hundreds of channels in there, including Lassie channel, so you know I got that marked as a favorite. But there's an all Universal Monsters. They run them 24/7.
Oh, wow.
And I mean,
they
go up into 70s. I watched with Strother Martin. You know that one with all S's in the title?
Oh, yeah.
Big
sound, yeah.
Dirk Benedict, the original.
Yes.
Starbuck from the original Battlestar Galactica is in there.
Yep, he is. And, I hadn't seen that in years, so that was a treat getting to watch that again. That was an absolute treat. Oh, yeah.
They don't have do they have a Hammer Horror channel yet?
You know what? I'll check and get back with you. But, yeah, I'm down with the Roku. Even before they had Roku TVs, because my wife has a small TV, that's got the Roku built in. But even then, the Roku stick is like $50, and it's for like the unit. It's not gonna fry. If you get a good one, it's not gonna fry up for 3-4 years. And I mean, it's unlimited the channels you can get. All you need is an internet connection to stream, and
you
are good to go.
Can you stream it on a laptop?
I think you can get the apps. I said for a laptop, you might be able to get apps.
I think you get the app for your pad. You could get that.
Does it
and if
be
you
an
have
iPhone?
A what's that the Chromebook? The app would work there as well.
Yep.
No, I don't have a Chromebook. I have just a regular laptop. And I don't have an iPad. I have a...
No. It wouldn't be an iPad. Just an Android pad you could probably find in the Play Store.
Oh, okay, because I have a Kindle. I have Windows. I have a couple of smartphones. I have a submarine. I have
a submarine. Like
I just want to
make but it has a screen door on it. Yeah.
Yeah. A certain ethnic submarine, I see. Screen doors.
Oh
my goodness.
Oh dear.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
But yeah, I would like to, if they have a Hammer Horror Channel, and I would be shocked if they've got the rights to Universal. I can't understand how they couldn't get the rights to Hammer Horror.
Okay, it does look like you can watch the Roku channel .roku.com for you, CW.
There you go.
So do I have to buy a device?
On your laptop. On your laptop, you should be able to watch it as the Roku, R-O-K-U channel .roku.com. Create a free account and you're all set.
Yeah, and it's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Free. Uh-oh.
That four-letter word that I like. Okay.
Yep. Right up our alley. Let's put it that way.
Cool. Another reason not to have a life. Okay.
There you go.
Yep.
We aim to help.
thank you very much. Between Roku, Tubi, and Pluto, and Peacock.
Pluto is great. Tubi's pretty good. Tubi throws in some oldies.
Yeah, you know what I'm watching on Tubi right now? I go down, I have a Roku TV downstairs with my treadmill. When I go down there, on the Tubi channel, there is some of the early Ernie Kovac stuff. And that's what I'm watching when I'm doing my walk right now. So,
right.
Yeah.
I recommend, I think they have Body Snatcher right now, too. The 1945 with Karloff is horrifying.
Okay.
Everyone. He's very frightening as Cadman Gray. And there's a brief appearance by Bela Lugosi in it. And it's one of those Val Lewton movies, I believe.
Oh, wasn't that the movie? Isn't Basil Rathbone in there, too?
No. I forget the gentleman's name. It's a 1945 flick. It's real funny because they put him and Karloff together in a thriller many years later. What the hell is it? What's his name?
The Body
Snatcher. He played the doctor. Yeah, the 1945 film is awesome.
Oh, the strange Dr. Markham or something like that with a thriller episode?
I think
so. Is that the one you're thinking about?
I think so. His name is...
It's the one that had Dick York in it also.
No. Oh, okay, that one did.
No?
Let's see.
No.
Henry Danielle, his name is. Henry Danielle.
Okay.
Well, let's take another look at that one. That's based on the real life characters of the Body Snatchers, Burke and Hare, correct?
No, but they actually reference them in the movie.
Oh!
And I think Karloff used the expression, "We Burked him."
Yeah, that is an expression that was named after those two guys. Well, I'm sure there were tons of other Body Snatchers, because there used to be a career where people were hired to watch freshly interred graves because the snatching got so bad.
Yes, put that on your resume. Yes, I'd be more than happy to sit in a graveyard all night long.
That'd be kind of cool.
But I insist upon vision and full dental.
Yes. I need the full plan. Please, honey.
Actually, the summer that I lived out at a day camp, my dad was running the day camp. So we stayed out there the whole time, lived in the trailer, and my brother and I had a room in a Quonset, big Quonset hut. And on Saturday afternoons, because no kids are around, my sister and I would hop on a bike. We'd take a packed lunch a lot of times over to the cemetery and have lunch there in the cemetery.
Hmm.
One of those fond memories.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, if you wanted flowers for your centerpiece for your picnic, you had a plentiful supply.
True.
I always wanted to take a date to a cemetery. That would be fun.
Take what now?
A date to the cemetery. I always wanted to do that when I was young.
Yep. Your one killer date?
No, not for nefarious purpose. Well,
I understand, because you wanted to come up behind her and say, "They're coming to get you, Barbara."
Yes, that was it. That was the reason. Sure, we'll go with that.
Well, you do have a wife. Just go on a date night. Just don't tell her where you're taking her.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
If I want to finish my life as a single guy, sure. Who's going to babysit Paladin?
Oh, yeah, there's that.
There you go. He would ruin the cemetery, the whole thing of it, because he's a goof.
I don't know how people find them, but I recently saw a hearse. Somebody, it was in a residential area.
Oh, I want one so bad.
I was going to the library, and it was parked right outside, and no, it didn't have somebody in there in that regard. It was just being used as a regular vehicle, but it still had all the chrome work on the outside, and it was a hearse. I don't know how people find those things.
They're not easy to find, but let me ask you, was it an older one, or is it like one of the more modern?
It wasn't ancient. I'd say it was something probably from, maybe the 1990s.
90s? Some of those aren't too bad looking for a pleasure vehicle, as I want to envision.
Yeah, I can imagine pulling up to Walmart in one of those.
It's my dream. I really do. I want to have an Erie House hearse. It'd be fun to go to trade shows, show up in the hearse.
The Ghostbusters thing was an ambulance, wasn't it? It was an old ambulance.
Yeah.
It wasn't a hearse.
Yeah, it was called
Miller Meteor,
I think it was called. A special version of it. And, of course, it instantly became very collectible. There's been mock Ghostbuster mobiles, but they're not really very, 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 very few of them are the actual vehicle that was used.
Yeah.
Same thing like Christine.
I've seen a couple of vans tricked out to be the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine.
Yeah, that's fun. I think if I became a multimillionaire, like I hit the Mega Millions, I think I would go vehicle crazy.
Yeah.
I gotta get the chariot. Some guy built the chariot from scratch.
He found the original plans. It was like this, some kind of a big snowcat mobile. They cut the top of it off, and, you know, they had the tracks.
From Lost in Space?
Yeah, the chariot.
Yeah.
Some guy built it.
Holy cow. Where'd they get all the plexiglass?
Look it up. There's a video out for it on YouTube. And someone has the truck from Duel, the big diesel truck from the movie Duel.
Oh, yeah.
From Steven Spielberg's movie?
Yep.
That's insane. That's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, of course, the vehicles like your monsters and stuff like those things are still around. And I would just like to snatch up as much of that stuff as possible.
I've seen cars with the, it wouldn't be too hard if you have a black car. You have the zooming, the tracking red light from Knight Rider going back and forth.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yep. And then Christine, in the movie, I think they used it was a 58 Plymouth Fury, but I think it was actually called a Savoy in the book, which is similar to a Fury, but maybe smaller. I believe. And those, of course, shot up and to get one to look like the movie Christine is quite an expensive thing.
I wonder if someone made a movie that really became a classic and put, what was that car that had to be recalled because it had the gas tank that if it got hit from the rear it always exploded?
Oh, unsafe at any speed, the Corvair. No, the Corvair.
Oh, the Corvair. Okay.
Or was it the Pinto? The Pinto too. They used to blow
the
up.
The Pinto.
The Pinto.
It was the Pinto.
Yeah, the Pinto.
I'm thinking of.
I had one, a Ford Pinto.
My dad did too, yeah.
It was a rust bucket, mine, when I got it.
And that weird car, it was a Pacer.
Pacer was like a bubble car, and the Gremlin was a funny-looking car. Both of those were AMC cars.
The ugliest-looking car I have ever seen was the Aztec.
Yes, the Pontiac Aztec is hideous. It is hideous. It's almost there with the Soul. I don't like that boxy looking thing with the offset window. It just ain't right. It just ain't right.
It has no aerodynamics. It doesn't even look decently. I mean there's a lot of cars that were dangerous that got lousy fuel mileage. The Edsel was not as, but the Edsel was not that ugly. But this thing.
Maybe it was more ugly in its day. I think it's because of it. I think we tend to look at cars of that era. If they survived, it's like, oh, that's cool. And it is kind of cool looking after all. Maybe. I don't know. I just can't see anybody 50 years from now going, oh, I got to get me a I got to get me a Pacer.
And what was the name of that car that came out of the country that was called Czechoslovakia?
I don't know.
Oh, the Hugo. Hugo.
Oh, that,
yeah,
the Hugo. Those were horrible.
Actually, that was a car, the last car that actually you could really work on by yourself. The only problem was the Yugos were here, but the parts were all in Yugoslavia. You couldn't get parts for the darn thing. So it's not that it was the worst car in the world, because that's one of the last cars that literally was one of those cars you could take apart and put back together again. But there were no parts.
Yeah. Oh, it was fun. I remember the cars I had from like late 60s, early 70s. If you had a good set of wrenches and screwdrivers and stuff, you could fix 90% of what was wrong with your car.
yourself.
See, that is another thing, too, because if you did somehow get one of those old cars and the parts are no longer in existence, but if you could get a scanning of the parts.
Well, people will
make
them, too, though. There's people that will make.
They will.
You know, it's not original, but they'll make the panels you're missing, you know?
Well, or what happens also is you've got people like Jay Leno who has a laser printer that prints with metals. So he could create the parts he needed.
3D printer. So he doesn't need to go to the people who charge you. I mean, not that he couldn't afford it, but you don't have to rely on these people who, whenever they get the time to build it, you just get a plan or and you can build it yourself via your 3D printer.
That's amazing. We used to have the machine parts. They used to have the machine parts for like your engine and whatnot.
Right.
Precision machine.
They had to be handmade, which would take them a long time. And then if you're only doing it for one part, how expensive that would be. Well, with your 3D printer, your metal 3D printer,
that's
that
probably
you were
expensive
alluding
to, too, to run one of those deals.
It is, but you could do it yourself in a quick time, and or somebody that runs it. They only have to run off one part, and it doesn't cost them like doing a whole setting up a whole machine and taking hours to make a specific part.
Yeah.
That's what Jay Leno does.
I'm sure he probably got the idea from someone else, because I'm sure as soon as the 3D printers came out, and what do I need to order this part from? Let me just get a scan of the part, and I got it.
There you go.
Well, but not all printers will do that.
The Green Hornet's car, too. Got to have that. What was that?
The Black Beauty.
Oh, okay.
The Black Beauty, yeah.
The Black Beauty.
That was a cool looking car. I wonder if that was a George Barrett. Was that a George Barrett car? I think it was.
I think it was.
What about the Batmobile, the original Batmobile?
That's a Barrett car.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a guy in Indiana that makes those.
Cool. Too cool.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I must be away.
Your timing is good. I need to fly, too.
I'll just walk, thank you.
Okay.
All righty.
Well, I'm going to flap my arms real hard, and you may have the honor. Ms.
Yep,
W.
I'm going to press the 3D printer and print out Mr. Durante. There you are.
Good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Horrible up we the same.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
Okay.
Good night, car. Get well.